Welcome to our last podcast in our continuing RCIA series, using the book Catholicism for Dummies as our background text. We are going to conclude in this class with part four of our book, Practicing Catholicism Through Devotions. So we're actually going to be condensing chapters 13 through chapter 16. Again, just a condensing of it, but we'll try to give a good overview. So let us begin, as we begin all things, in a prayer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now we're going to take a look in our last class on Catholic prayer and devotion. First of all, what is prayer? Prayer is the raising of our hearts and our minds to God. In any relationship, if we look at it at a human level, there has to be communication back and forth. If there isn't, that relationship probably isn't going to last. It's the same thing with prayer. We need to raise our hearts and minds to God in order to speak with our Lord and to have Him speak with us through prayer. So basically, we do four things when we pray. We adore God. We thank God for His many blessings. We ask the forgiveness of our sins. And we petition God for any needs that we may have and the needs of others. These are the four purposes of prayer: to adore, to thank, to ask forgiveness, and to petition for our needs and the needs of others to the Lord God. Now, there are two types of prayer, if you will: mental prayer and vocal prayer. Mental prayer is another way of saying meditation or contemplation. We meditate when we think about one or more of the mysteries of our faith. For example, meditating on the various aspects of Christ's passion is one of the most common themes for meditation. Contemplation is the resting of the will in God. Contemplation is an exercise of love. Emptying our minds of thoughts, we try to focus our wills on God in an act of love. Contemplation is a particularly advanced form of prayer. Some of the mystics have written about it, such as St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. The other type of prayer is vocal prayer. In vocal prayer, we use our lips to say a prayer. This may be the most common prayer used by people. Some prayers are both mental and vocal. The rosary, where we say the prayers with our lips, is vocal, but we also meditate on the mysteries, which is mental. Now, the other division of prayer is communal and private prayer. Communal prayer is when we pray in common with others. Private prayer is when we pray alone. Some prayers have both a common and a private aspect to them. The rosary, again, can be said both in common or in private. Now, one of the greatest communal prayers, of course, is the Mass, where we come together as a community, but also the Liturgy of the Hours. The Liturgy of the Hours is when the Psalms are prayed, there's a meditation on the Word of God, there's canticles and blessings, and this is a prayer that the priests say every day. They are bound to say the Liturgy of the Hours. There's readings, there's psalms, there's canticles, there's intercessions, there's petitions. And we, as lay people, are also encouraged to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. If you see a book called Shorter Christian Prayer, this is the Liturgy of the Hours. In addition to the Liturgy of the Hours, there are other prayers and devotions that the Catholic Church offers to us that we can use to enrich our spiritual life. They range from novenas, which are 9 days of prayer for a particular intention, asking a saint to intercede for us, to litanies, where we ask the intercession of saints by doing a litany, by asking the saints to pray for us. Statues and icons are a form of prayer, because by looking at the statue or the icon, which is a holy picture, it raises our hearts and minds to God. And remember, all of these devotions are means. The end of all of them is God. We are not focusing on the saint, per se. We're asking the saint, because they were holy and a model for us, to lead us to God, because the saint ultimately was holy because of God. Some people, a form of prayer and devotion, are going on pilgrimages to shrines and to religious places. Going on a retreat is a very good devotion that a Catholic can do, and just getting away from the world for a while and reflecting on life. We can also wear holy and sacred things, such as medals and scapulars and pins, to remind us of a saint or of God. A crucifix we could wear, the miraculous medal of the Blessed Mother. The rosary, of course, is one of the, after the Mass and the Liturgy of the Hours, is one of the greatest prayers I would recommend of any type of prayer after Mass and the Liturgy of the Hours. That all Catholics should be familiar with the rosary, where we meditate on the life of Jesus and Mary. We say the Our Father, the Glory Be, the Hail Mary, and the Hail Holy Queen. The Divine Mercy Chaplet is another great devotion, where we ask God's mercy through the passion of His Son. The Way of the Cross, where we meditate on the 14 stations as Jesus, in Jesus' passion as He goes to His death. The other devotion that all Catholics should have, which really isn't optional, which really is necessary for us to get closer to God, is our devotion to the Blessed Mother, because she leads us perfectly to her Son, Jesus. Remember, we do not worship Mary. We only worship God. Frequently, non-Catholics accuse us of worshiping Mary as a goddess and putting her above Jesus. That's nothing could be further from the truth. Our devotion to Mary is she leads us perfectly to her Son. She's the most perfect of God's creation. In fact, she's the Mother of God. So we look at her as our model to bring us closer to Jesus. She's the most sure and direct way to Jesus. So honoring Mary isn't the same as worshiping Mary. We only worship God. I mean, we can honor people by, we can have a dinner where we honor somebody and give them an award. That's not worship. We're honoring the achievements of that person. And who's the greatest person we can honor is Mary, because she's the greatest person that God created. She's far above any priest, any pope, any president. She's the greatest creature of God, but she's not God. We honor her because she leads us to Jesus perfectly, because she's the perfect imitator of Christ. We ask for her motherly intercession, which is very powerful, because she's Jesus' mother, and Jesus listens to his mother, and she always asks for what's best for us according to God's will. So Mary is our model, and the rosary and the different devotions, the statues of Mary, these lead us closer to her. And again, they're the ends. They're not an end. They're a means of leading us perfectly to her Son, Jesus. She's the Mother of God. She's the Mother of the Church. She's the Mother of the mystical body of Christ. So she has a very special place in our devotion. And it's binding upon us as Catholics to have a place for Mary, because Jesus honored her. God made her immaculately conceived. God assumed her into heaven, body and soul. She had a perpetual virginity. God made her his own mother. So Marian devotion is really something that's necessary for us Catholics, because it's the way God wants it, and God knows what he's doing. So such Marian devotions as the rosary, the May crowning, the first Saturdays, going to Marian shrines and having a devotion to her church-approved apparitions. These are all important ways of honoring our Blessed Mother and getting us closer to Christ. Because remember, there hasn't been any saint in the history of the church. If you look at the lives of the saints, every saint had a devotion to Mary. And if a saint's in heaven, devotion to Mary is one of the sure signs that we're on the right track in getting to heaven, because she leads us perfectly to her Son, Jesus. Now, in a similar way, our devotion to the saints, like the Blessed Mother, she has a higher devotion than the saints because she has a special role as the Mother of God. But in a similar way, we can ask the saints to intercede for us with God. And remember, we're not worshiping the saints. We're simply asking a holy man or woman who's been canonized by the Church, meaning the Church has infallibly declared that they are in heaven, to intercede for us. A simple analogy would be like this. You ask me for your prayers because your mother is sick. You say, please pray for my mother. Nothing wrong with that. And you should do things like that. Because remember, we talked about a type of prayer where we can ask others to pray for us, intercessory prayer. But we take that to another level, if that's true with people on earth, why can't we ask the holy men and women in heaven to also pray for our mother who's sick? Of course we can. We call that the communion of saints. So these are basically God's friends who we honor. And we ask the saints to intercede for us. Because remember, they are not God, but they can pray to God for us. And so the saints are those holy men and women who have gone before us, who we ask for intercession. So we can have devotion to St. Joseph, St. Anthony, St. Teresa, St. Bernadette, St. Maximilian Kolbe. And this communion of saints, we can all pray for each other. Because remember, as we speak right now, the church exists in three levels. The church triumphant, which is the saints in heaven, those who have been saved. The church militant, which is us on earth, the believers who are still fighting to be saved. And the church suffering, the souls in purgatory, who have been saved but have not reached heaven yet because they must be purified of their attachment to sin, and they must do penance for the effect of their sin. We can all pray for each other. The saints in heaven can pray for me and for the souls in purgatory. The souls in purgatory can pray for me, and they can also pray for each other. But they can't pray for themselves. I can pray for the souls in purgatory and for other people on earth. Now, we don't have to pray for the saints in heaven because they've made it, but they can pray for us and for the souls in purgatory. We call that the communion of saints. And it's a very beautiful teaching because we're all in it with each other, helping each other. We can also have the angels pray and intercede for us. The angels are saints because they're in heaven also. The church teaches we have a guardian angel who we can pray to and ask to protect us and to watch over us. So these different intercessory prayers are part of our Catholic teaching. What other Catholic traditions do we have that come over into our prayer life? Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament is perhaps the most important of Catholic traditions that we have, where we experience Christ's presence in the Eucharist in the Mass, but also we experience Christ's presence in the Eucharist when we receive Him in Holy Communion, but we can also adore Christ present in the Blessed Sacrament, either exposed in a monstrance, where we can see the host visibly, or in the tabernacle, where the Blessed Sacrament is reserved in a beautiful golden vessel. And this is a very beautiful devotion because the closer we get to the Blessed Sacrament, obviously the closer we get to Christ because Christ is present. Another beautiful Catholic devotion is benediction, where the priest blesses us with the Blessed Sacrament outside of Mass. Many people have a 40-hour devotion where people pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and the Blessed Sacrament is exposed on the altar for 40 hours. Religious processions of the Blessed Sacrament can also occur, where there's actually a procession where the priest will carry the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance in a procession, usually in the church or out in the streets. We can also practice the Catholic devotions of sacramentals. Now, sacramentals may be used in the course of administering and receiving a sacrament, but sacramentals do not refer to the seven sacraments: baptism, penance, Holy Eucharist, confirmation, holy orders, matrimony, anointing of the sick. We're talking apples and oranges. Christ instituted the seven sacraments himself, and they're unchangeable and permanent. Sacramentals, on the other hand, were created by the church and can therefore be changed or revised. New ones can be made and old ones suppressed. So after a priest, bishop, or deacon blesses an object, it becomes a sacramental, which means that when it's used in conjunction with prayer, it invokes God's blessing. Blessed objects, such as rosary beads, scapulars, medals, statues, icons, Bibles, crosses, and crucifixes, are called sacramentals. Almost anything can be blessed, but the Catholic who possesses the blessed item can't sell it or use it except in a holy manner. Normally, the priest or deacon makes the sign of the cross with his right hand over the object and sprinkles holy water on it while saying a prayer of blessing. By the way, holy water is a sacramental too. Water that's been blessed by a priest, bishop, or deacon is then holy water. the most common sacramental, and it's used every day by Catholics around the world. Sacramentals aren't good luck charms, talismans, or magical objects. That would be superstition. That'd be against the first commandment. For Catholics, they're merely reminders of the supernatural gifts God gives us, such as grace, which is invisible. These visible and tangible sacramentals remind Catholics of all that the senses can't perceive. They kind of point us to the sacraments, but they're not sacraments. So ashes on Ash Wednesday is a sacramental. Blessed palms on Palm Sunday is a sacramental. The blessings of the throat on February 3rd of St. Blaise is a sacramental. Bells, incense, these are all sacramentals, crucifixes that have been blessed, statues, icons, rosary beads. These are sacramentals that reminds us of God's blessing and His presence. Now, let's take a close look at the Our Father, because the Our Father was taught to us by Jesus Himself. This is why it's called the Lord's Prayer, for which there is no substitute. Jesus taught us this Christian prayer on the day on which one of His disciples saw Him praying and asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." The Church's liturgical tradition has always used the text of St. Matthew as our basis of the Our Father. This is in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Frequently, people call the Our Father a summary of the whole Gospel. The Our Father is the summary of the whole Gospel, the perfect prayer. Found in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, it presents in the form of prayer the essential content of the Gospel. It's also called the Lord's Prayer because Jesus Himself taught us this prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the prayer of the Church par excellence. It is handed on in baptism to signify the new birth of the children of God into the divine life. The full meaning of the Our Father was revealed in the Eucharist, since its petitions are based on the mystery of salvation already accomplished, petitions that will be fully heard at the coming of the Lord. The Our Father is an integral part of the Liturgy of the Hours. So let's look at it. We pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Because Jesus, our Redeemer, brings us into the Father's presence, and His Spirit makes us His children, we are thus able to pray the Our Father with simple and filial trust, with joyful assurance and humble boldness, with the certainty of being loved and heard. Jesus teaches us to call God our Father. We can invoke the Father because the Son of God, made man, has revealed Him to us, and because His Spirit makes Him known to us. Our expresses a totally new relationship with God. When we pray to the Father, we adore and glorify Him with the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Christ, we are His people, and He is our God, now and for eternity. In fact, we also say our Father because the Church of Christ is the communion of a multitude of brothers and sisters who have but one heart and mind. What does it mean, who art in heaven? This biblical expression does not indicate a place, but a way of being. God transcends everything. The expression refers to the majesty, the holiness of God, and also to His presence in the hearts of the just. Heaven, or the Father's house, constitutes our true homeland, toward which we are moving in hope while we're still on earth. Hidden with Christ in God, we live already in this homeland. Next in the Our Father, we come to the seven petitions. The Our Father contains seven petitions made to God the Father. The first three are more God-centered. They draw us toward Him for His glory. It is characteristic of love to think first of the beloved. These petitions suggest in particular what we ought to ask of Him: the sanctification of His name, the coming of His kingdom, and the fulfillment of His will. The last four of the seven petitions present to the Father of Mercies our wretchedness and our expectations. They ask Him to feed us, to forgive us, to sustain us in temptation, and to free us from the evil one. So the first petition, "Hallowed be Thy name." To hallow, or to make holy the name of God, is above all a prayer of praise that acknowledges God as holy. In fact, God revealed His holy name to Moses and wanted His people to be consecrated for Him as a holy nation in which He would dwell. The second petition of the Our Father, "Thy kingdom come." The church prays for the final coming of the kingdom of God through Christ's return in glory. The church prays also that the kingdom of God increases from now on through people's sanctification in the Spirit and through their commitment to the service of justice and peace in keeping with the Beatitudes. This petition is the cry of the Spirit and the Bride, "Come, Lord Jesus," in Revelation 22:20. The next petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The will of the Father is that all men be saved. For this Jesus came to perfectly fulfill the saving will of his Father. We pray God our Father to unite our will to that of his Son, after the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints. We ask that this loving plan be fully realized on earth as it already is in heaven. It is through prayer that we can discern what the will of God is and have the steadfastness to do it. The next petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." In this petition, we ask God with filial trust of children for the daily nourishment which is necessary for us all. We recognize how good God is beyond all goodness. We also ask for the grace to know how to act so that justice and solidarity may allow the abundance of some to remedy the needs of others. But this petition also refers to the Eucharist, the body of Christ. "Give us this day our daily bread" is given to us above all in the Eucharist, which anticipates the banquet of the kingdom to come. The next petition, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." By asking God the Father to pardon us, we acknowledge before him that we are sinners. At the same time, we proclaim his mercy because in his Son and through his sacraments we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Still, our petition will be answered only if we, for our part, have forgiven first. The next petition, "Lead us not into temptation." We ask God our Father not to leave us alone and in the power of temptation. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us know how to discern on the one hand between a trial that makes us grow in goodness and a temptation that leads to sin and death, and on the other hand between being tempted and consenting to temptation. This petition unites us to Jesus, who overcame temptation by his prayer. It requests the grace of vigilance and final perseverance. The final petition, "But deliver us from evil." Evil indicates the person of Satan, who opposes God and is the deceiver of the whole world. Victory over the devil has already been won by Christ. We pray, however, that the human family be freed from Satan and his works. We also ask for the precious gift of peace and the grace of perseverance as we wait for the coming of Christ, who will free us definitively from the evil one. And of course, the Our Father ends in a final Amen. At the end of the prayer, we say Amen, and we ratify by this word, which means so be it, all that is contained in this prayer that God has taught us. So the Our Father is one of our most precious prayers. So every day, in our daily prayer, morning, we should pray morning and evening and before bed. We should pray the Our Father. We should pray the Hail Mary. We should pray the Glory Be. We should try to reflect and read sacred scripture. To try to pray our rosary. Get closer to God through these Catholic devotions. Now, in conclusion, please understand that these classes, in the very nature of the way they are given, have to be brief. We have just skimmed the surface of this wonderful faith that we have. I would encourage you, this is not an end of the journey, this is just a beginning. I would encourage you to closely read all of the chapters in Catholicism for Dummies. We haven't had the time to read everything. We've just briefly condensed the material. The text is there for you to complete your study, to make it deeper. I would also very, very much highly encourage the reading of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which I have quoted extensively in these lessons. Get a copy. Read a paragraph a day. Don't be intimidated by it. It's for everyone, not just for theologians and priests and teachers. It's for everyone. Don't be intimidated. And the more you study your faith, the more you will understand. And of course, read the Holy Scriptures. What I would recommend is get the Daily Missal This can be purchased in a Catholic bookstore. It's the readings that we say at daily Mass and on Sunday. Reflect on the Sunday readings. Read the daily readings of the day. They can be even found online. These are very, very important for us to get Scripture, the nourishment every day of Holy Scripture, if we can't attend Mass every day. And when we attend Mass on Sunday, we should reflect on those readings throughout the week. Finally, pray the Holy Rosary. The Rosary will lead us closer to Christ. The Blessed Mother made many promises for those who pray the Rosary. So remember, this isn't the end. This is the beginning of our journey, because we must nourish and explore our faith till the day we die. We never stop learning our faith, because even in heaven we will contemplate God for all eternity. So these are the things I leave you with, and I ask God's blessing upon you as you continue your journey, and continue to use these resources as a guide to enriching and establishing a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us end with that perfect prayer that we meditated on, the Our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. All the angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.